Okay, let's begin. So we are up to, we're in the middle of this long Rashi. I read this Rashi a couple of times. I really don't understand it. Maybe you can help me. Maybe we can figure it out together. Zechus of the Tzibur, and Mr. Marillis is here, the mathematician. He will shed light on what this Rashi means. Rashi's going to do a calculation.
My batteries are running low.
Rashi's going to try to give us a calculation to understand the square amos of Eretz Yisrael. Now we have Rashi is all based upon a principle that's in the Gemara. I don't know where in the Gemara it is, but somewhere it's a Chazal that Eretz Yisrael is 400 parsos by 400 parsos. Now what does that mean? That's an exaggeration, hyperbole. What exactly does it mean, 400 parsos by 400 parsos? Now, by the way, what's the significance of the number of Tav, 400? Because we know that the Tav is the last letter in the Aleph base. So anytime Chazal, listening on, is this working? Yeah. Anytime Chazal want to give an example of
a large number,
or really the most, they use one of two numbers. Either they use the letter Shin, 300, or they use the letter Tav, which is 400. What's the difference? So I once suggested, and I think it fits pretty well, except this example doesn't work out that well, is that when you want to focus on spirituality, ruchnius, then 300 represents the most. It represents infinity. No, 300 ruchnius. Yeah. Ruchnius, 300, and gashmius, 400. I'll give you two very examples on the top of my head. What does it say on the Tefillin Shel Rosh? Shins, two shins. Okay, we know the shins are Shakai, Hashem's name, but that's only one opinion. They're different approaches, but the letter Shin represents, the Tefillin represents Kedusha, not just Kedusha on steroids. It's the most. It's the Shlemus of Kedusha. The letter Shin takes Davar Ruchni and expands it in every dimension possible to conquer the world, to spread throughout the entire world. That's the letter Shin. Now, there are many examples, just for some reason I can't think of them now. Not for some reason, that's how I am. I can't think of the letter Tav represents the most in Gashmias. When Esav came, the Arba Meos Ish Imoi, 400 men with him. What does it mean? For it means the most the world has to offer. Every nuclear submarine and bomb and plane, weapon, you name it. It's Maisa of a similar banim. When Yaakov Avinu was coming to meet Esav, he wasn't just going up against one person, he was going up against the full force of the entire world. 400 men doesn't just mean 400 men. 400 is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. It represents every weapon, every strategy, every idea that Esav, halacha biyodeinu, Esav son of Yaakov, is going to challenge Klal Yisrael. This is Golus. We're living through Golus, and the Goyim have used against us everything they have up their sleeve to conquer us. Very appropriate for Chanukah. Chanukah the Yevanim is just one example of this idea of they're trying to conquer us. So 400 means they're pulling out every trick they got in their bag. What?
I think there are more threes than fours.
There are more threes. What are the threes? Chanukah? What are the
Levi
is the third, right? Because Chanukah is a spiritual Yom Tov. That's our ability. Esav is Dover Gashmi. Esav is the Gashmias. When we prevail over upon them, it's the Ruchnias that prevails over the Gashmias. So Shevet Levi, the miracle of Chanukah came back through Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is the third. Okay.
400 years of slavery.
Right, exactly. So the Arba, 400 years of slavery. What? Because slavery means subjugation. That the Umos Olam are going to smite of a similar bonim. That Yerdoa Teda Kiger years of Eretz Levan VaAvodim VeInu Yosam Arba Meo Shana. 400 years. This is a principle. This is a principle. This the number 400 and the number 300. Generally, I think it fits pretty well. 400 is Gashmias, and 300 represents the most in Ruchnias. Here we have a principle that Eretz Yisrael is 400 parsos by 400 parsos. So you right away say, but isn't Eretz Yisrael a holy land? It's the holy land. So you'd expect the number to be 300 parsos by 300 parsos. That's not a kasha, because the whole purpose of Eretz Yisrael is to sanctify the mundane. That's really what Chanukah is all about also. That's really what Chanukah is that to take Kedusha and to infuse the Gashmias with the Kedusha. So Eretz Yisrael just appears to be to the observer, to the United Nations. What is Eretz Yisrael? It's just land. It's just a piece of land lying out there in the Middle East, which is occupied by some strange people. Little do they realize that this is a holy land. It's true, to the naked eye, it's just 400 parsos, it's just Gashmias. It's just a Dar Gashmi, but the Koyach of Klal Yisrael is to give Kedusha to this land. So this is a Yesod. The land is 400 parsos by 400 parsos, period. Now, when did that ever happen, that the land was 400 parsos? What exactly is that? I should have made the calculations, but 400 parsos pretty much comes out to something very close. I mean, should I say that? No, I take that back. Whatever it is. Like, we'll try, as we do Rash, we'll try to maybe a little bit decipher what the numbers are. You probably can figure it out, because how many parsos, how many milim are there in a parsa? There are 4 milin in a parsa. Mil is approximately, in our calculation, 3/4 of a mile. 3/4 of a mile. And there are 4 milim. Anyone here do the math now? I can't do this.
Wait,
so they're going to be 3 miles in a parsa. And 400, so that's going to be 400 parsos by 400 parsos.
1,200
miles by 1,200 miles. Okay, so Eretz Yisrael is approximately 1,200. Now the problem is today, the state of Israel is about 220 miles from north to south.
Maybe 50 miles.
About 55 miles.
From north to north, it's not even 50 miles.
This is right. So in modern Israel, it's about 220 miles from top to bottom, by around 50 miles. It keeps on changing, whatever. 50 miles from west to east. So how does that measure up to what it says that Eretz Yisrael is 400 parsecs, 400 parsecs, which is roughly 1,200 miles by 1,200 miles? Tzorach Iyun Gadol. It's a big kasha. Now, what we learned yesterday, we touched upon this yesterday, when we read it again today, is that Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yechezkel is going to be 13 strips of 25,000 konim, which is 150,000 amos, which when you make the calculation, it comes out to be about 550 miles, I think. When you make the calculation in modern terms, you reduce it to all the numbers of it. We're going to read Rashi. It's from north to south, from north to south, it'll be about 550 miles.
Per strip?
No. The entire thing, top to bottom, including all 13 strips. There are 13 strips we're going to see. 13 strips of land, and the calculation comes out, even the art scroll in the blue art scroll, the English one we have over here, they go with the calculation as well. It comes out to about 550 miles from north to south and from west to east. So let's say you want to be very generous, maybe you want to go all the way into, I don't know, Iraq. I don't know where you end up over there, Iraq and Iran. You want to go all the way down to the Bavel. So maybe you look, or you go into the Yam, the islands, whatever. So let's say you'll say it's also going to be 550 miles, whatever that means. But that's still not, however creative you want to be in saying the weather is going to go all the way to Iran, wherever you're going down over there, it's still not going to work out that you're going to have 1,200 by 1,200. So this is a problem, to say the least. This is about, so how are you going to solve the problem? So you need a good accountant. And you have to fudge the numbers. And you have to say that when it says the parsa, a parsa doesn't mean 4 milin. Maybe it meant that in other times. It means something else now when it's with a mil. You're going to have to, like these accountants who are sitting now in jail. So how do they get into jail? They'll tell you, well, I asked my clients, how much do you want to get back this year on your tax return? And we just work backwards. We put that number in and we work backwards. So that's why I'm sitting here. Yeshiv Batel.
Isn't there an idea that the land stretches that the when you flatten out...
So you're saying an idea, which is mentioned, is that the land is not measured from Google Maps. Don't use Google Maps to measure the land. You have to include the hills and the valleys. So when you include the topography, the valleys and the hills...
If you leveled it all...
If you were to level the hills and the valleys, then you would have more surface area, which will come out to 12, will come out to 400. But that is a very interesting idea. Does it really work out, even when you would level it? I don't know. There are probably tools available in the modern world that are able to tell you that. But, okay, these are ideas. All of these ideas doesn't really satisfy the question. It's still greater than the answers, the solutions. So Chazal did not necessarily mean the simple answer is Chazal did not. When they said 400 parsos, by 400 parsos, they did not mean a number literally. What they meant is, like I told you, they meant in Inyan Machshava, 400 is the last letter in the Aleph base. It represents that Eretz Yisrael is the best that there is. Every quality that the physical world has to offer can be found in Eretz Yisrael, and it's true. I mean, Eretz Yisrael is why is the whole world fighting over it? Because we're there, right? That's the reason why. If we weren't there, no one would pay attention.
They don't want us to have it more than they.
Exactly. It's not because the quality of the land is so great. They want whatever it means. Just to point out the issues. These are the issues that we're dealing with. Rashi is touching upon these issues, and he says a lot of things which, unfortunately, I don't understand. And maybe when we'll read it together, maybe you'll be able to figure it out, or we'll figure it out together. Let's see again. We just started Perek Mem Ches. We're going to read this Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Aleph. We did the first half yesterday. We stopped in the middle, but let's get back into the swing of things by reading from the very beginning one more time. The Elu Shmos Hashvatim. Okay, we read yesterday three Pesukim. The first Pesuk, my belief, from the Perek. No, I'm sorry. The first Pasuk. Sorry. The Elu Shmos Hashvatim Seder Chalakim Sheyichalkua Beinayim. This is going to be the order. The Seder. We mentioned yesterday that the word Seder is a very powerful word. There's going to be an order. You see on the handout. You see the whole Eretz Yisrael. Okay, from top to bottom. And don't look at the bottom, but just look at the top part. You see the Shvatim. There are 12 Shvatim, and in the middle there is what's called the Truma. That's word is going to be repeated about 100 times in this parak. The word the Hatruma. Truma means to lift up. A section of land is going to be uplifted in honor of Hashem. That's where the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built. That's Yerushalayim. That's the center where nothing's going to change. That's where it is there. And that's going to be given to the Mikdash, Lakaihanim, Lalavim, Lo'ir, V'lanasi, the Melech. And a blow up of that 25,000 konim, which is 150,000 amos, is on the bottom of this piece of paper where you see on the top section is the Kohanim, and a teeny little dot in the middle is the Beis Hamikdash. That's the Har Habayis. Okay, that's the Har Habayis. And that Har Habayis is 500 konim by 500 konim, which is 3,000 amos by 3,000 amos, because each konim is 6 amos. So 6 times 500 is 3,000 by 3,000. That's quite a large area. 3,000 amos by 3,000 amos is a massive, massive area. We made the calculation, we learned this a couple of weeks ago, that the Har Habayis today is only approximately, the Temple Mount today is approximately, let's say, the width, not more than 600 amos. Somehow it expanded. And the length is maybe at most double. I mean, the length is not, the Har Habayis today, it's not a perfect square. It's been expanded twice. It was expanded during the Mishnah says that the Har Habayis is 500 amos by 500 amos. In the Bayis Sheni, maybe it started out like that, 500 amos by 500 amos, but it was expanded at least twice. Once during the time of the Chashmonoim, about 200 years before the Churban, and a second time during Hurdis, about 75, 100 years, whatever it was before the Churban, again it was expanded, almost doubled. Doubled not in width, but doubled in length towards the north. Towards the north, that's where that the northern section, that all is new. That's all something that was added during time of Hordis. The southern section,
19 BC.
The southern section is the original, but even that was expanded. Not on the west side, on the east side. On the east side, it was the wall was probably the wall on the east side was probably redone. The Kaisel Hamaravi, that wall we have a tradition, that wall was never changed. That wall goes back to the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, beginning not the Bayis Rishon. The foundation, which is way below where we can see, we have a tradition that's even there from the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon, but that only on the Kaisel, it's not really whatever. We don't really know too much. They'll tell you they know, maybe they do know. Whatever it is. But in the time of that, so therefore, thing today, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go there, you go and you look at the Kaisel Meravi, what are you seeing? You're seeing an area of the Har HaBayis, which is approximately not more than 600 amos from west, from the Kaisel HaMaravi to the other side, to where Har HaZeisim is. The Kaisel HaMaravi, when you stand in the Kaisel HaMaravi, if you were able to walk all the way through and come at the other end, the other wall, all the way on the other side, that would be about 600 amos. Not that we know what an amma is, but approximately 600 amos. When you go from the beginning, all the way from where the bus stops, all the way into the Arab section, you go on the tunnel tours, they let you out, okay? They let you out at the tunnel tours, they say, okay, the tour is over. You can now walk back in the Arab section. It's not very nice. I once went on a tunnel tour, and the guy who gave the tour was not, I don't think he was very fond of from people. And he wanted us, because you have a choice. You can either walk back, and squash your way in, or you can get out, go back out the door, and go walk through the Arab section. That's where the exit is. But you know, it's sakana.
I know, so that's why they close it down every once in a while.
It's not going to walk there. It's not a very nice thing to go and encourage people to walk the lion's den. Especially when Trump just announced that Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. I don't think people are going to be very comfortable walking over there in that section through the Arab area coming back. But anyway, then you go from the beginning of where the bus is to where the exit is on the end of the tour. I'm sure you've all gone on the tunnel tours. Mm-hmm. On the end of the tunnel tour, that's approximately not more than 1,000 amas. Not more. Can't be more. Maybe it's a little bit less. And the last 500 amas in the tunnel tour is an addition. That's new. That was expanded in the time of Hordus. Hordus in the Gemara, in the beginning of Masechet Bava Basra. Does that section have the kedush of the Har HaBayis? Did the Sanhedrin? Did the Kohanim? Did they sanctify it? Those who learned Daf Yomi only a few days ago learned how you give the sanct when you expand the Azara, when you expand the Har HaBayis, even Yerushalayim, there's a technique, there's a procedure that has to be done in order to give it kedusha. Did the Kohanim actually go and give it kedusha or no? There was a mark on the floor. Ad kan kedushas Har HaBayis. This is where the old wall ended. Now you're in an expanded area. But even though we've expanded it, we did not give it kedusha because whatever they felt it was not necessary or it made too many problems to give it kedusha. Sometimes there's more harm done than advantage of giving it kedusha. So it's not clear. No one really knows for sure if when they expanded the Har HaBayis in the time of Hordus, if they indeed gave the additional section kedusha. That's a sniff in why some people go to the Har HaBayis. They feel they don't go to the first 500 amos. They only stand there. Different people do all different things. I'm not telling whatever. That's not. But one of the things is that who says the additional sections that were added? We don't know if it was given kedusha. Maybe not. Maybe the only kedusha was the original kedusha, 500 amos by 500 amos. And if you can theorize where the original 500 amos were, and don't go there. And don't go there, even though you can go there. I mean, whatever, it's not. I'm saying there are many, you're combining many, many different issues together to find leniency, to find the reason why it should be permitted. So who says it has Kedusha? Who says it has Kedusha in this area? Okay, so here we learn the Bayis Shlishi is going to be greatly expanded to the size of 3,000 amas. Isn't it amazing? You're going today, what's today is 600 by 1,000, to 3,000 by 3,000. Massive, massive expansion. So where are they going to go? They're not going to be able to park the buses. They're not going to be able to go over there. They're going to go all the way that way. Or they're going to go all the way, which way? We're probably go both ways. They're going to knock out the whole Arab territory, go all the way there, Mamish, until who knows how far. And they'll probably have to make a whole new center for the buses to come in because that whole area is going to be part of the Harbais.
It's about a mile by a mile.
3,000 Amos? Yeah, okay, right.
A
half
of 2 feet, so it's almost a mile by a mile.
And what about, I don't know, what about going in the other direction? So they're going to go up to Har Zeisim? I don't know, it's not really clear because there are Kvarim already. I mean, they're not going to rebuild the Kosel HaMaravi. They're not going to expand backwards. Not Mestaver. The Kosel HaMaravi for all these years, the Makam Tzvila, they're going to knock it down and they're going to expand it. Mestaver not. Mestaver they're going to go in the other direction. When you go the other direction, they're going to have to clean all the graves. You have to clean out all the graves because you're really going way out. You're going, you're cutting into Har HaZeisim. That's what it says. It says over here, it's going to be in that little teeny area. Is the teeny. Chis HaZeisim. But we don't know what the Seder is. Some say that first they'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and later there'll be Chis HaZeisim. These are all very big mysteries. There are many, many more questions than there are answers. But all of that area, look at this page, look at this, see the vastness. And this page is that little dot. On the very bottom is the middle strip, and the middle strip is an area there called the Mikdash Hashem, and the Mikdash Hashem is that little box, little black box, and that's 500 Amos by 500 Amos. Now what's above it, what's below it? The whole city, this whole strip is divided into three parts. If you look on the top, you look on the side, it says 10,000, 10,000, 5,000. So the top 10,000 is going to be that's going to be where the Mikdash is. And the rest of the area is going to be dedicated for the use of the Kohanim.
The next directions here, there are no directions, east, west, north, south.
The top is north, and the bottom is south.
Yes.
Okay, the top is north, bottom is south. It's like United States. And the right is east, and the left is the west. Okay, then below is the Levim. Okay, then that's going to be 25,000 by 10,000, and then below is going to be Achuzah Soir. That's going to be real estate. That's going to be expensive real estate. Okay, to buy a house there, that's going to be Yerushalayim. It's not really clear. And then on the left and the right, you see that's going to be special land given for the Melech, the property of the Melech. His very large area of land. What does he need so much land for? I do not know. But that's what we learned before, and that's what we're going to learn again very, very soon. Now, with all that said, now above this strip, you see over here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 strips above, and below is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, there are 5 below. There's more land in the north than there is in the south. You see these strips of land. And okay, we learned yesterday the top strip. We learned the last 2 days the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael. We described in great detail what is the northern boundary, who lives, who will be given the first strip, the northern boundary, Shevet Dan. Dan, he comes first. We mentioned that the very Chiddush, Dan is the Ma'aseif L'chol HaMachanos. He was always the last. And now his day has come, he's the first. He is considered to be the first. He's all the way on top, which seemingly is Choshev, to be listed number one and to be given land in the north, for whatever reason, even though, I mean, you would assume
he's the
that...
He's furthest away from the Beit HaMikdash, though.
Oh, okay, so that's a good point. And on
that
the one hand...
be just the opposite.
Okay, it's true. You're saying it's true. Yehuda and Binyamin, they're the ones who... We learned the Malbim. Hopefully we'll get to the Malbim today. The Malbim tries to give us an understanding of this Seder. This is a very bizarre Seder. This doesn't conform to anything that we've had in the Torah. In the Torah, I think the Shvatim are listed. I don't remember how many they're listed. Every time the Shvatim are listed, they're listed in a different order. Like now the Nesim. Today we finished learning the Nesim. You go to the 12 Shvatim. There's a Seder to the Shvatim. But that's not the way they were, the order of their birth. That's not the order and how they're listed in Yaakov Avinu and Parshas Vayechi blessed them. And that's not the order and how Moshe blessed them. And what about the way they're listed in Bamidbar, when the census, how they're counted? It's also different. Every time the Torah presents the Yud Beis Shvatim, it presents them in a different Seder. And to add to the list of the different Seder is this list, is the order how they are listed, how they're given a chalukah in the land. So the Malbim is going to attempt to come up with an understanding of why indeed in this particular instance it's in this order. Okay, so this is a general overview. Now let's see the Rashi. Rashi says, Sheida hachalokim sheichalku b'neyem, mokoyim kol echad v'yachad. This is the way the land is going to be divided. First it says, Mitzet Sefayna. Now we're going to start from the north. Don Yitol Netzer Tsefayni. Okay, we did this yesterday. Mechatsa Einan, Shem Mitzah Mizrach. Which is on the east, the northeast, which is the right corner of this piece of paper. Agvul Damesek. Which the Mesek, Rashi is very, very unclear. Rashi says that it's in the west. That's not what we had yesterday on the piece of paper. According to almost all the Mefarshim, the Mesek is on the east. So what is Rashi saying? Rashi seems to have it mixed up. Chatzar Einan, anyway, we don't know what it is. All right, so that's not our problem. But the Mesek would appear to be Damascus and Syria. And Syria is not on the west side. Syria is on the east. So what does Rashi mean? The Mitzudas explicitly said the opposite. The Mitzudas says we're going from west to east. So what is going on over here? According to Rashi, it is a very big mystery. I don't know. We don't know. You can't. Is it an error? Okay, over here... you're right. Over here, in my edition, I have a very nice edition here, the Art Scroll, and over here it says there's a parish on the side. You can have this soon. We'll only know the 2 weeks. We'll finish this. We'll learn the Treyos. You'll have the same thing as me. And here there's a parish on the side called the Sifsei Zakenim, which is like the Sifsei Chachom in Chumash on Rashi. And he says, you're right, there's a Tos Atfus. And he says here, I don't even know what he says about it. It's a little bit confusing, but he does change some of the girsa.
Flip them around.
Doesn't do that. He writes over here. Return Olaymar v'gam givul damesek ha'emed eitzel chatzar einon u'shneim. Both of them, he says, he's changing the girsa here. Both of them are on the east. B'miktsoyat tsefonis mizrachis tohu soifer tsefon ma'arav. Okay, so he says over here, indeed, there's a mistake. Okay, so he says over here that the words of Rashi are mistaken. Okay, that's you have to have grace of places to say in Rashi, there's a Tos Atfos. You have to know what you're saying. He says it's a mistake. Okay, v'gam od ad hayom kemosha b'mikro kei v'yoyser nira sheteva. So that is another parish, the word ad, another mistake in the text. Ad is also Tos Sefer im. He says here there are major mistakes in this Rashi, and that's why, to us, it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. The Mitzudas said just the opposite. We're going from the west to the east, and the west is Chatzar Einan, and the east is Damesek, and that's the northern border. He and Rashi says just the opposite. So the Sif Kingdom says there's a major mistakes crept into this Rashi. So don't focus on the exact words. Let's go to the next words. V'hayu loy pas kadim hayam kloimar mipas kadim. The boundary will go from the east, the ad yam, all the way to the Mediterranean. We're going from east to west. We have the entire north. Who is going to live in the top strip of land? Don echod. Those two words are very cryptic. Hare perish ha'erich v'leperish. Don is going to live there. Don gets the ochad means he gets the first portion. Now, Rashi points out, we've explained you the Oirech, V'loi Perish Horeichev. We have not explained how far down. We've gone from the Mediterranean all the way to Damesek, okay, whatever that is. But how far down south does Don take in the land? So this is, we know from our piece of paper here, 25,000 konim, reeds, or staffs. Each akane is how much? Is
six
amos. So what is the result? 150,000 amos. 150,000 amos, which is 75 milin. 75 mil. A mil is 2,000 amos. So 150,000 amos divided by 2, even I can do this, is 75,000 amos. 75,000 because a mil is 2,000 amos, is 75,000 milin. And we know from modern poskim that a mil is approximately 3/4 of a mile, which comes out to approximately, the exact calculations, about 54 miles. 54 miles from the boundary going downward. Now here we quote the Braisa, the Braisa of the Sifrei, which is a collection of Midrashim, halachic Midrashim, on Sefer Bamidbar and Devarim, the Parashas Hazinu, Shoninu, Matam Lemar Yehuda Echad. There it quotes, it cites these psukim Sefer Yechezkel. What does mean Yehuda Echad? Don Echad, Osher Echad. Why does it say the word Echad after each of Shem, which we'll see soon? Melameid, Shasidin Yisrael Litol Oirech Min HaMizrach Lamarev, that we already mentioned. Biroichav, the width, meaning going from north to south, Eshrim Vachamisha Elef Konim, 25,000 Konim. Each kane is 6 amos. Sheheim, shivim, vachamisha milin, which is 75 milin, because a mil is 2,000 amos. 150 divided by 2 is 75 milin. Umeheichon lamdu hashir hazeh. Where does it say this? It doesn't say this anywhere in the Beferish. The answer is it does say it in regard to the middle, the truma. The truma, which is number 8 on this list. 8 down on this list is hatruma, lemikdash, lakayhanim, lalevim, lo'ir, v'lanasi. There, the roichav is 25,000 konim. And then it compares all of the other strips of land to this center strip, which means they're all the same. Which each one is 25,000 konim. So mihechon lamdu hashir hazeh min hatiruma. Okay, I warned you that this word is going to appear until the end of this parak 100 times. Min hatiruma. The truma refers to the section of land that's uplifted in honor of Hashem, in honor of the kohanim, in honor of those who service the Beis Hamikdash. She ke'echad kishihi, which is ke'echad min hachalokim halalu. Kumo shemefarish b'inyan. Shekach kosav ve'oirech. Its length ke'achat hachalokim. The oirach, the length of the truma will be like the other portions. V'hu roichav, and what is the width? And it says explicitly that the width of this truma is eshrim v'chamish elef konim, 25,000 konim. V'oirech, now he Rashi repeats himself, what is the oirech? Mepa'as yom ad pa'as kodim. Now, this is a little bit confusing. Now, you look over here in this piece of paper, when he shows you the truma, and he shows you the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Ban, the Achuza Soir, there was a boundary. It was a perfect square. 25,000 Konim by 25,000 Konim. The area of land after to the Mediterranean, and the area of land on the right side, I guess going to Jordan and to Iraq and Iran, is for the Nasi. Now, what's interesting over here is there really enough space left? I mean, I don't know. Anyone know how many miles is it from Yerushalayim to the Mediterranean? Does anyone know that?
45, 40.
Not that much, right?
Not even that much, I don't think.
Maybe.
Yeah?
It takes an hour to go to Tel Aviv, right? So.
And you go 60 miles an hour?
It's not 60 no. miles, no. It's not. It's more like 35, 40.
55, and if you're Israeli,
Tel Aviv, 40.
When you. Okay, whatever it is, but just very disturbing to me is that there's not much left. If Yerushalayim is a little dot in the center, and you have from there. I take it back. It's not really true. You do have one because that's the center. So that's the center. You can have about 25. You have 25 miles. If the whole of the square is about 55 miles by 55 miles, and Yerushalayim is in the center, so you have about 27 miles. So you go from Yerushalayim towards the Mediterranean. You go west in Yerushalayim for 27 miles. You're still on dry land. I assume, right? You're not in the Mediterranean yet. right? It's not. There's more than 27 miles from Yerushalayim to the Mediterranean. Has to be, right?
Not that much more.
What? Not that much more?
33.
From Yerushalayim to the Mediterranean is only 33 miles. Wow, that's a small amount of money. You can hike that in one day. What?
1,624 miles.
Which is? 33 miles. Okay, so what it says over here is there are 33 miles. You only have about 6 miles left for the Nasi. On this piece of paper, they make it look like a nice square. The Nasi gets a lot of land. There's not that much land. There's not that much left. Because this box, this is the box. It's 25. It's 150,000 amos by 150,000 amos. And whatever is on the left and on the right, and the remainder of this strip goes to the Nasi. If this is Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim, you only have from Yerushalayim to the end, half of 150,000, you have 75,000 amos. 75,000 amos is approximately, in our calculation, about, let's say, 27 miles. So if you have 33 miles until the Mediterranean, you're going to be left with 6 miles until you hit water. And that's going to be for who? For the Nasi. On the other side, however, you probably have more. Right? The other side, we're assuming that Eretz is going to expand to the east very, very far. That's also not so simple, because some want to say that Eretz only goes until the Yarden. And then it goes to the Yarden. Then also, you don't have how much space do you have from Yerushalayim to the Yarden?
20 miles?
Not even 27 miles.
20 miles.
Not even 20 miles.
Not even 20.
So then you're in a lot of. So then it doesn't.
21 miles.
So you got a problem, because over here in this piece of paper it says, if you're going to learn that the border of Yerushalayim ends at the Yarden, even in the time of Yecheskel. And it says here in this Psukim that the Nasi is going to receive the land on the east as well of this strip of land, but there's nothing left for the Nasi. Because if Yerushalayim is in the center, and Yerushalayim, you only have 27 miles more, that already is past the Yarden. So obviously there's something that we're missing. The sun that we're missing, unless you want to say that the Yarden is not the end of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Machlokes. Where does Eretz Yisrael end? On the east side. What?
33 miles.
What is it? 33 miles
from Yerushalayim to the sea.
That's to the sea. What about the other direction? As I told you, you have 6 miles level for the Nasi. What about going east?
21 miles.
Going east, you don't even have enough of a space to fill up the box.
It is something. The territory is boxed in, and all
the
shivits are not boxed in.
Right, because the center is a box, and then we give the remainder.
But the remainder is also boxed in.
No, the box that shown doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. That with the Nasi they make the box. They just do it for illustration purposes. But that doesn't mean anything. All right, just throwing out ideas. The questions are greater than the answers. I don't. Everyone is stumped by these questions. We'll just try to do the best that we can over here. Now, so we're middle over here in the Rashi, and Rashi says, "How do we know this? Let's go. Heichal lamdu atzum gogam one more line. Go back. Heichal lamdu ashi azeh menatum ashi keech menachalokim alokim moshmosh beinyan shakach kosev va'orech keech menachalokim v'roichav eshem v'chamish elof kan va'orech mipasiyam yad. Pasiam Kodim Eshim Khamishim Elf Konim, can we do this? Mea Khamishim Elf Amo, 150,000 Amos, Kone, Sheish Amo. A Kone is 6 Amos. V'chol, now here we go, V'chol Alpayim Amo Mil. A mil is 2,000 Amos. And Shabbos, the Tchum Shabbos is a mil. Kimo Sha'anu Lumin Mesechta Yoma. How do you know that a mil is 2,000 Amos Mesechta Yoma? When the person who sent the animal Azazel off the cliff, he had to travel 10 different stops. And the distance between one stop and the next was Eitzel Eser Sukois. They had 10 booths. Each booth, they would give him food. Can you imagine? He was the only one that was allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. The person that sent off the animal Azazel, he was permitted to eat if he had needed the strength to continue walking to the next to the cliff, And each sukkah, they would, but it says that he never ate. He never ate, but ate al eser sukkos shem Yerushalayim. They had sukk to the cliff, and there it says, there we learn from that sukkah, he's not telling us the details that a mil is 2,000 amas. Period. Now, Rashi returns to our topic. Harei mea v'chamishim elef ama oilim l'shivim v'chamisha mil. If this area from north to south is 25,000 konim, and a kone is 6 amos, and we multiply 25,000 by 6, we have 150,000 amos, and then we divide 150,000 amos by 2,000 amos, by milim, and each mil is 2,000 amos, the result is 75 milin. That is, oilim, it comes out, harei mea v'chamishim elef am oilim l'shim v'chamisha mil. And now, when we can come into the 21st century, we can say that a mil is 3/4 of a mile, so it's about 50 miles, or 54 to be precise in the exact calculations. Now he quotes the piyut, this Rav Michal mentioned yesterday, exactly the source, it's in the second day of Sukkot. The second day of Sukkot, there's a piyut, v'zeh sheyasa Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, referring to Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, b'piyut, ki ekach moed le'esa. Here it's a very cryptic piyut, and he's trying to decipher what it says. Ki ekach moed le'es chiluk aretz soisech. And I'm translating this loosely, that the Python is saying, I'm going to celebrate when Mashiach will come and the land will be redivided. We're going to celebrate. We're going to take for ourselves a moed, a festival. Le'es at the time chiluk aretz soisech, when the land is divided, its land. And he says here some very powerful words which shed light on what the chalukah looked like. Kishura sakerem lechutzoy seha. That the land, the division will look like the rows of a vineyard extending outwards. You go to a beautiful vineyard and you see the rows, they go on and on outwards. That's exactly what you Eretz Yisrael is going to look like when you look at the chalukah. Bo'orech is part of the piyut. He continues, Bo'orech, along the length, Mipa'as Kadim, from the east side, Liktsoy Secha, to its end. What's the end? The end is the Yam. When you start on the east side, and you look at these beautiful rows, these rows of the furrows of a vineyard, it goes all the way from the eastern boundary, all the way to the end. Where is the end? The end of the world. Where is the end of the world? The Mediterranean. The Akyanus in ancient times, that's where the civilized world came to an end. What's
the eastern end?
What?
Not the eastern end.
Well, the eastern is land. There is no end, because there's
eastern end, which is where everything's
thrown. What do you mean?
It's only the end of the world once you get to like Gibraltar or something like that.
Right, okay, but if you're starting in the east and you're going west, mm-hmm. Go west, young man. And you come to the Mediterranean, that's it. The world ends. Okay? Interesting. That's what Ad Yom, and he explains what is the end? The end is Ad Yom, Okeanos, the Mediterranean, Le Mitzvoy Seha. Now, I don't know what this word means. According to its commandments, is this part of the Piyut? So I have to take out a Siddur. I should take out a Siddur, but Le Mitzvoy Seha, according to the way Hashem has commanded, the way the Navi has commanded that the land be divided. Beroichav, Shirim v'chamisha mil, charitzos.
I guess he translates it as commandments, but I suppose it means until its limits, right?
Okay, I mean that's the that there's nowhere to go. You're in the water. That's it. Then the Python goes further, and here is where the Python says, now that's the length. What's the width? How far south down do we go? Beroichav, along with Shivim v'chamisha mil charit soisecha. This is poetic. Okay, the words are rhyming. Charit soisecha with the word lemitzvoisecha, lik soisecha, lichut soisecha. You see the beauty of the piyut? In the piyut, the words are, you know, the end of the piyut is lichut soisecha, lik soisecha, lemitzvoisecha, charit soisecha. These are poetic words injected at every point in this piyut to make it rhyme, to make it sound good. So here it says the rechav will be 75 mil lecharitza secha, are its charitzim, its furrows. Since we're comparing Eretz Yisrael to a vineyard with rows, with furrows, so it goes all the way until it goes all the way to the end. Now here, that is the end of the piyut, or at least the end of the section of the piyut that is relevant to us. Okay, so we're done. Now Rashi goes further. Rashi says that, do you have this with Shloisha also? You have that? You have the private in brackets. Do you have this in your edition? Yeah. What do you have? Yesh Garson? Okay. Ushloisha also shivim v'chamisha mil. Now, Rashi says, okay, so we know that each strip is 25,000 kanin, which is 75 mil. So what is 75 multiplied by 13? What's the answer? 975. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, 975. Ushloisha also, we multiply the 13 strips. Shiv mechamisha mil l'shloisha osa ritzuos bein ritzuos hashvatim, which includes, bein here including the ritzuos of the 12 tribes, plus uritzuos hakodesh, the ritzua of the truma, the chunk in the middle, yalu. So what is 13 times 75? 900 yalu l'tisha meyos v'shevim v'chamisha mil. It comes out to 975 milen. Okay, period. Okay. Now we're entering into very treacherous waters. The next part of Rashi, and what Rashi is doing, I'm just giving you a very overview. I don't know how to translate these words. And you're gonna figure out whatever. The best that we can do is Rashi is basically saying, now wait a minute. We have 975 milen. This has to somehow fit into 400 parsa by 400 parsa. How are you going to do that? How are you going to make 975 milin fit into 400 parsa? Now, what we're actually saying would really be great is if this number, 13, if we can fudge the numbers, if 13 multiplied by 75 were equal to 1,000, we'd be very happy. If only we can reinvent the wheel. If only we can fudge the numbers, and 13 multiplied, 75 milen multiplied by 13 would equal 1,000. It'd be wonderful. Why? Because what is a parsa? A parsa is 4 milen. So if it would work out, we're working backwards now. If you would multiply 75, which is each chunk, by 13, which there are 13 different sections, and it would to equal exactly 1,000 milin, we're in business, at least one direction. Because what is a parsa? A parsa is 4 mil. So how much is Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is 400 milin by 400 parsa by 400 parsa. What is 400 parsa? A parsa is one parsa is, I'm going to get a little confused now, a parsa is 4 milen. So when we say 400 and we have here 1,000, I'm all mixed up. Okay, let's go further. Let's see what he says over here. Let's try to figure it out. I told you, I don't know what's going on here. Let's see. Uleminyan arba, now he starts what gets very complicated. Uleminyan, how are we going to reconcile 975 milin with 400 parsa? Okay, we're only focusing so far on one direction, from north to south. Rashi is not even going to attempt to explain how you're going with from the west to the east, how are you going to get 400 parsa? Because those numbers aren't presented at all here. But at least, if you're going from north to south, we do have numbers. So at least, Rashi says, let's at least try to figure out how the number 975 milin can fit into 400 parsa. Uli'inyin arba meos parsa, al arba meos parsa, shal eretz Yisrael, oilin hamilin, So how many milin are there in 400? Now a mil is how many mil is there in the parasa? Four. That's 16. So it's 16, 1,600 milin. We have here 900. What?
We have 975.
Exactly. So that's the first discrepancy. We have here 975. A parasa is 4 milin. 400 times, a parasa 400 times 4 is 1,600. How do we reconcile 1,600 with the number 975? So the Abramelin Abramelos Abramelos parsel Abramelos parsel Shal Eretz Shal Oylan Hamilin L'Sheish Esrei Meos comes out 1600 L'Skum Hakilar Hakaliri. According to the Kalir Rabbi Eliezer Hakalir, we made the calculation 975. Shomar, he said Shomar Arbas Milin he parsed, because I don't know who's saying because he said it. Is there a mistake? Who? That's a stava pashat. Everyone says that. Maybe the Kalir himself said somewhere that a parsa is 4 mil. So what are we going to do now? How are we going to reconcile this number? So the answer is the Shema. Okay, Rashi right away. Rashi says the word Shema. You know you're in trouble. You know you're in a lot of trouble. If he doesn't know, he doesn't know. But maybe. Milin shel cheshben haritzuos gedoylim heim. Ah, a whole new world. A whole new set of mathematics. That the milin is not the average meal of 2,000 amas. They're a little bit larger. Now, a little bit larger, it would be convenient if we can round the numbers up, so then we can make it work out. They're larger, and it's you don't need four of them to fit into a parasa. Because if we need to come on to 1,600, we need to come up with 1,600 milin. We have 975. How, if we're going to take 975 and divide it by 4, what do you get? Michal, what do you get? 975?
It is almost 246.
I'm sorry, what was this?
We, according to the Kalir, according to our calculation, we need to come up with 1,600 milin.
Right. So the way to do.
And we only have 975. And normally, it doesn't work out together. So if what do you want? You want to go double them up? You want to double?
Well, not quite.
It's not going to work. Basically, it's not
going to
work out.
So what Rashi is going to say now is that it's 2.5.
2.5 milin
per parsa.
Per parsa. So if you make it 2.5 milin per parsa, the milin are not
1,000.
Comes out to 1,000,
which is close.
But we only have 9. We have 975. So no cigar. So the echein ba limnay shnei milin u'mechsa b'parsa. So if we're going to fudge the numbers, the milin that we're dealing over here is a different type of mil. So it's not going to be base. It's not going to be. We have 975. But whatever that means, we're fudging the numbers. But yalu arba meos b'parso le'elef milin. So then, very good. If you're going to say there's only going to be 2.5 milin per parsa, we're changing the numbers. Then you would need there to be 1,000 milin in order to make it, the maimazal work out of 400 parsa. But we don't. We're missing 25. It was only 975. The cheshbon milin shel ritzua ein el ela tasha meos v'shem v'chamisha milin. Adayin chaser hamilin eshem v'chamisha milin. We're still blocking 25. So therefore, he goes on to say, loy kivein minyan milin haritzua shel payot leminyan arba meos parasa. It doesn't work out. It does not work out. Uminayin lomad rebilozo arich harshuos ad yom. Okay, that's one. So therefore, basically says, so he actually leaves as a question. It doesn't work out. And then he goes on to say, this only, even the attempt to calculate the 400 parsa is only an attempt from north to south. But what about from the Mediterranean all the way to the east? What are the calculations? No one's giving us numbers. No one's giving us landmarks to make numbers. Uminayin lomad Rabbi Elazar orich hashurois ad yom akyonus. Why do you stop only by the Akyanus? Umikra meyut chumarav ad yom Hagodol Shalifnim Miyom Okyanus Harbe, which is way go the Atlantic. Rashi, what he was saying is, according to the piyut, the Rabbi Elazar Kalir said explicitly that the boundary ends at the Mediterranean. Rashi, that's not true. The boundary of Eretz Yisrael ends at the Atlantic Ocean. That's what he says. The Yom HaGadol. Over here, you can contrast the Yom HaGadol to the Yom HaGadol, which is much, much further on, which means what? What does that mean? It means all of the islands, and it means chunks of land, a good chunk of Europe, is all part of Eretz Yisrael. Is that really true? Is that really correct?
Yes.
What?
It will be.
So what does this mean exactly?
In the end of the Olam. Yitzhakianus.
So Akyonos means the Mediterranean, period.
So far,
not in this question. Let me tell you how he frames the question. He says, where did Rabbi Eliezer learn that the length of the strips extended to the ocean, which is at the end of the world, whereas the scripture testifies that the western border is only until the Yam HaGadol, meaning the Mediterranean, which is quite a distance inland from that ocean.
Yom HaGadol is the Mediterranean?
Yom HaGadol is Mediterranean.
It depends on the context.
But here,
sometimes Yom HaGadol is the Mediterranean.
In this question, that's what it means.
But in my edition, it says Okyanus. Okyanus always means the Mediterranean. That's clear as day. And if you're coming to contrast the Yom HaGadol with the Okyanus, the Yom HaGadol can only mean one thing, only can mean the Atlantic. So what's going on over here? Okay, so these questions are great, and the answers, we have a basic calculation, at least we take out of this, we have a basic calculation of this piece of land, and we have a chazal that tells us that Eretz Yisrael is 400 parsos. If not for the Kalir, we wouldn't really give it much attention. We would say it's just more midrashic. It's more symbolic. It's more of an exaggeration. But the Kalir seems to say, in his piyut, seems to say, no, there's a mathematical formula where they work where it works out. Rashi says, I don't get it.
It doesn't work out.
That's exactly what Rashi says. I don't know what the Kalir is talking about. The Kalir tries to say that it works out. Even if I am willing to go and make assumptions and say that we're going to have a different type of parsa, even though typically a parsa is 4 milin, maybe when Chazal said 400 parsos, by 400 parsos, they meant that a parsa is 2.5 milin. Why would they do that? I don't know. There's a different translation of the word milin. But that also doesn't work out because we're still off by 25 milin. That's what Rashi basically says. Rashi says every year is you have two different types of parsos, but there has to be a method. You can't go talk fractions. You have to deal with something which you can calculate easily. So you say 2.5, but we're still off by 25. And also that only takes into account the north to the south. The Kalir doesn't even make an attempt to explain the east to the west, and that certainly doesn't seem to come anywhere near 400 parsos by any figment of the imagination. So what then does it mean? Rashi just concludes here at Tzarchi, and Rashi over here says it does not clear what the Kalir. If not for the Kalir, we would just say, like I told you, 400 parsos by 400 parsos is a medrash. Midrashim are not meant to be taken literally.
You also note here that in our Machzorim, the poem has a number of variations.
Okay. So where is Rashi taking it from, and which one is the accurate one? These are all major questions which have very few answers. Okay, let's just do one pasuk before we wind.
Like they also using nautical mile and regular mile.
Right.
So they are different.
So that's what someone suggested before. How when we talking about from Google Maps, I call it, versus topography, yeah. up and down. So then that would change. Also, did the world change since the time of the Korban? Were there earthquakes? Were there things that happened which caused shift of land? They're always telling us that the day is going to come when California is going to go bye-bye.
The meat is not
go out and join Hawaii. No, there's a right? They've been telling us this for years. So maybe something happened in the land.
So maybe kingdom which is disappeared in under the water.
Yeah, they find today, they find islands. You ever hear the news every so often? They find islands underground in the sea. So they have a whole civilization down there. How did it get there? What happened? Obviously, things have happened in the last 3,000 years that we don't know about. The world has changed.
The Hebrew mile is not the English mile?
No, it's not.
Because the English mile is
3,000, a mil is 3,675 meters. In America, everything is big.
Yeah.
Big and wide and
more
spacious.
More than a half.
So maybe the mil has been expanded 25%. It's like someone said, in America, they have big jails. Other countries, you can find in America, everything, big cars, big trucks. Rahman al-Islam. Okay, let's go on.
Also have big jails.
What?
Israel also have big jails.
No, that's not only
now. Why do they have so much terrorists coming? They should put in there and to feed them and to make them strong to come back and they take them stabbing.
Pasuk Beis. Yalgvul, one pasuk before we wind down. Yalgvul, Don, Mipas, Kadim. Now from the Gvul, now we go, who's after Don? Asher. Asher is the second Gvul of Al Gvul, Don, Mipas, Kadim, from the east, at Pas Yama. Asher Echad. He's number two. Another Pasuk. Al Gvul, Asher. Underneath Gvul, Asher, Mipas, Kadim, Al Pas Yama, Naftali Echad. Look at the piece of paper, Naftali. Dal, Al Gvul, Naftali, Mipas, Kadim, Al Pas Yama, Menashe Echad. Al Gvul, Menashe, Mipas, Kadim, Al Pas Yama, Ephraim Echad. Al Gvul, Ephraim, Mipas, Kadim, Al Pas Yama, Ruven Echad. Al Gvul, Ruven, Mipas, Kadim, Al Pas Yama, Yehud Echad. Al Gvul, Yehud, Mipas, Kadim, Al Pas Yama, Tia. Then we come to the Tumot Tumot, which we're going to stop with Pasuches. That'll be tomorrow. We've gone all the way down to, we're going to do one Rashi. One Rashi says, El Gvuldon, Eitzel, Gvuldon, Bidromo. Al means Eitzel. It means near. Okay, and the Mitzuda says the same thing. We'll leave it out. So tomorrow, Miritz Hashem, we're going to pick up with Pasuches when we begin to describe the Tumot, which is the eighth portion. Okay, stop here.